What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with episode 2 of season 2 of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. Today, guys, we have a lot of topics. We have a lot to discuss. I want to talk about the NFL Combine and some guys that really, really raised their draft stock. I want to touch on some NBA news as well. The Los Angeles Lakers, they've definitely been playing well. And I want to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and the Ja Morant situation. And we're going to touch on a lot of different things as far as NBA teams, where they stand. And we're going to touch on the JJ Redick situation, where he was on First Take the other day and he was going back and forth with Kendrick Perkins. I just want to give my, you know, opinion about that. But, you know, there have been a lot of things transpiring. Lamar Jackson is receiving a lot of disrespect right now. It's just utterly crazy what he's going through, and Daniel Jones signing that deal. We're going to get into that later, guys. I can't wait to talk about that. But first, you know, we're just going to jump right into it. The Combine, NFL Combine. There were a lot of guys that raised their draft stock. And we're going to start with Anthony Richardson, Florida quarterback. He is crazy. The athleticism is off the charts. 6'4", 244 pounds. He is a true freak at the quarterback position. A lot of people compared him to Cam Newton. A lot of people compared him to guys like Josh Allen. And you know, people said he's a mixture between Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton. He's tremendous. He ran a 4.4 in the 40-yard dash, vertical jump, almost 41-inch vertical, 10.9 for the broad jump. And overall, man, his raw talent is just, it's so crazy to see. It just jumps off the charts at you how much raw talent this guy has. His arm strength, he throws the ball, and it's almost like a laser coming at the receiver. You know, a guy like this can literally make or break your franchise. Selecting a guy like Anthony Richardson, he's like a high-risk, high-reward type of guy. He definitely has the tools to become an MVP-caliber player and even one of the best to ever play this game. You know, just from looking at this combine and just from looking at some of the great plays that he's had in college, he definitely has that going for himself. He has that it factor. He has the kind of frame that you would want from a guy that at the quarterback position in today's game, because we all know mobile quarterbacks are you know, they're definitely needed, and a lot of head coaches want mobile quarterbacks in the NFL. So, you know, moving forward for Anthony Richardson, it's going to be interesting to see how teams react to this, to him, you know, making this huge splash in the combine. And obviously he has his downfalls as well. You know, he definitely has to work on his accuracy. He has to work on his decision making, because there were a lot of, I watched a lot of tape on him, and there were a lot of times where he just made like some, you know, just simple mistakes, you know, throws that just shouldn't have been thrown, and, you know, things like that he wasn't aware of. You know, in some plays he did, it's like, you have to be aware of your first down, your second down, third down, fourth down. You have to be aware that where those type of things at the quarterback. So, but, you know, nonetheless, I mean, he's crazy. I literally can't even describe him in any other way. He's just crazy. He's super athletic. Mentally, he's always there. He's always locked in. He wants to get the job done. He wants to be the best. And I honestly do believe that a team will trade up to get him. I will not be surprised if he's a top 5 pick in this draft. Maybe even top 3 because of this combine. I do see teams taking him over Will Levis now, because Will Levis, definitely, he didn't wow you at the combine, but obviously, you know, he does things very well. So I really do think that teams will jump over Will Levis just to get to Anthony Richardson because of this combine. I mean, he was just utterly tremendous. But another quarterback, CJ Stroud, he impressed a lot of scouts as well. I mean, 6'3", 214. He didn't compete in any athletic tests. No 40-yard dash, no vertical jump, any of that. And in my opinion, he might be the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft. I will take CJ Stroud over Bryce Young. And here's why. In that national championship game, the game to go to the national championship against Georgia, he put on a clinic. I mean, they almost put it off. I really thought that they were going to pull it off. He definitely played great in his last game. Obviously, he didn't win a Big Ten championship in this year or last year, but he's been tremendous throughout his college career. I mean, he's definitely an NFL-ready quarterback, in my opinion. He's always on target, accuracy is great. His deep ball is tremendous. He makes great decisions in the pocket. He's always aware of the pressure. He's always aware of, you know, situational downs, things like that. And I really do think that he has deceptive arm strength, because in the combine, I watched some clips from the combine. Like I said, his deep ball is crazy. And his accuracy, he definitely puts the ball on the money every single time. I mean, it was rare that the ball was kind of off. It was just so rare. And obviously in the NFL, it's going to be way different because you have guys that are bigger, stronger, faster, smarter. But he definitely impressed in the combine. And I do think that he's the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft, over Bryce Young, obviously. But Will Levis, I want to talk about him as well. He passed on the 40-yard dash. He had a 34-inch vertical. The broad jump, he had a 10-foot-4-inch broad jump. And he's been compared to Josh Allen. Definitely some heavy comparisons to him. He has the body of an NFL quarterback. His accuracy is kind of questionable from the clips I've watched. The ball is not on the money every single time, but it's always in the vicinity of the wide receiver, obviously. And the wide receiver sometimes has to adjust to the ball placement. But his deep passes were okay, and he definitely needs some work at his footwork. The technical things with Will Levis. I mean, what do you expect from a guy that's coming out of college, obviously? But it's the technical things with him that I've noticed. He has to just tidy some things up to get him to that next level. But guys like him, guys like Anthony Richardson, I do think they need to sit behind a veteran quarterback just to learn everything they can, soak up knowledge, and just get that experience in the NFL. Because Anthony Richardson, I don't think he's a day one starter. Even though he's just an athletic freak, he's definitely not day one starter in my opinion. CJ Stroud, like I said, he's the best quarterback in this league. In this draft. And I do think he's NFL ready right now. So I do think he's a day one starter for a team like the Houston Texans or Indianapolis Colts or a team like that. Or even the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Will Levis, like I said, guys like him and Anthony Richardson, I do think they need to sit behind someone just to get that experience and get that knowledge. But last guy I want to touch on was Nolan Smith. You can't leave him out, man. He had a tremendous, tremendous combine. 6'2", 238 from Georgia. 40-yard dash, he ran a 4.39. 41.5-inch vertical, 10.8 broad jump. I mean, this guy exudes excitement. He exudes being a team player. He's a team guy first. He didn't play the national championship game, but he's always in that national championship game. He was always bringing guys water, always, you know, keeping guys in high spirits. He definitely is a team first guy, and that goes a long way in the NFL because, you know, you have to make impressions on guys. You know, there are a lot of professionals in this league, and, you know, they don't mess around. They don't want to joke. They don't want to, you know, laugh and you know, take things lightly in this league. So a guy like him could definitely help out a locker room, you know, from a morale standpoint. But I saw him as a late first round, early second round kind of guy. But now I wouldn't be surprised if he goes, you know, late first round, even middle of the first round. So he's very athletic, very quick hands at the point of attack. I've noticed watching his film, but he definitely can be a starter in the NFL. I wouldn't say right away, but he has to have a guy, you know, across from him on the other edge that will take some of the pressure off of him if he's a starter, because he can't, you know, with his size, he's kind of undersized to be in the NFL. And I don't really understand the undersized NFL thing. I won't even get into that because it's kind of crazy to me. If guys are talented regardless of their size. So even in the NFL, that's just my opinion. You know, a lot of you guys might, you know, disagree with me, but if you're talented, you're talented. I don't care if he's 6'2", 238. He's a talented guy. He's fast. He's quick. And he definitely can make an impact on the next level. But, you know, staying with football, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson and his whole entire situation. It's crazy to me how New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones got paid before Lamar Jackson. Daniel Jones definitely didn't disappoint this past season. He showed some flashes in this Brian Daboll offense. Signed a 4-year, $160 million deal to stay with the Giants. And a guy like that, man, I mean, he's a talent. Obviously, he's an NFL quarterback, so he's some kind of talented. But Lamar Jackson's the MVP. I wish we can just put this to bed right now. Lamar Jackson does not have to prove he's a pocket passer. He's an MVP for a reason. He excels at everything he's good at. He's a mobile quarterback and he uses his legs primarily. What is the issue with that? I don't understand. Everyone needs to stop acting like Lamar Jackson just needs to make strides as a pocket passer. He's already an NFL quarterback. He's already capable of making those throws, and he has on many occasions. So there is no need for him to prove himself to NFL GMs and NFL owners and NFL coaches. Like, what is there to prove? He's an NFL MVP already. He's led his team to the playoffs multiple times. Obviously, he hasn't got over the hump yet, but the Ravens franchise tagged him the other day. And it's just crazy to me how a guy like Daniel Jones compared to Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is terrible, but compared to Lamar Jackson, it's crazy. 4-year, $160 million for Daniel Jones. And I do think that teams look at it as they don't want to do the Baltimore Ravens work for them, because the Baltimore Ravens, they've been struggling to get a deal done with Lamar Jackson for a very long time now. Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent, so he represents himself. He wants a deal in the area of, you know, 4 or 5 year, $260-$270 million deal. And he deserves it. I mean, he honestly does. But I think other teams like the Atlanta Falcons, you know, like the New Orleans Saints before they signed Derek Carr, you know, teams like that, they don't want to do the Baltimore Ravens work for them. And by work, I mean, they don't want to outline a contract. They don't want to offer it to them. They don't want to give up all their pieces. And then Baltimore has the chance to match that, whatever they you know, came up with. So moving forward for Baltimore, I honestly do think they won't offer it. They should. I definitely think they should. But I don't think they're going to offer him that money, man. I just really don't. Something in me is just telling me that Baltimore doesn't really want to pay that much money to a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, which I don't understand why. But I honestly thought that a team like the Atlanta Falcons was just going to throw the entire kitchen sink and just get rid of everybody for Lamar Jackson. I definitely would have, because a city like Atlanta, very vibrant city, you know, a lot of things going on there. Lamar Jackson fits right in with that city. He fits right in with that kind of the mold, I would say, that an Atlanta Falcons quarterback has. Reminds you, everyone, of Michael Vick. And it's in Atlanta. I mean, Marcus Mariota had some success in this offense last season with him being a running quarterback. So Lamar Jackson will fit perfectly in this system. But like I said, man, it's just so crazy how people forget that Lamar Jackson is the NFL MVP, one of the best quarterbacks in the league when healthy. I mean, the disrespect needs to stop. It definitely needs to. But moving on to the NBA, I want to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers really quick. They won last night against the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're 3-2 in the last five games since LeBron James has gotten hurt. Anthony Davis, over that span, he played 4 out of the 5 games. Over that span, has averaged 30 points, almost 31 points, and 13 rebounds and almost 3 blocks. The Los Angeles Lakers, they're 2 games back out of the 6th spot in the Western Conference. They definitely can make the playoffs. And I'm not saying the play-in. They can definitely make the playoffs. They have the easiest remaining schedule for the rest of the season. I do see them moving up to maybe 7, you know, at, you know, the best case scenario. Move up to 6, move up to 5, and not have to play in the play-in and just, you know, play the third seed or the 4th seed. But I definitely can see them in that 6th spot. Anthony Davis has been playing lights out. I mean, he's just tremendous. Darvin Ham called him Wilt Davis. But he's definitely been playing lights out. He's been playing MVP caliber basketball. So moving forward for Los Angeles, I do think that LeBron James is going to be reevaluated March 23rd. So with him coming back and Anthony Davis playing this way, I honestly don't see anyone they can't beat in a 7-game series. The Denver Nuggets, they're definitely capable of beating them because, you know, we saw what happened in the 2020 bubble. In the second seed right now, Memphis and the Sacramento Kings are tied for the second seed. I'll get to Memphis later, but the Los Angeles Lakers are definitely capable of beating Memphis Grizzlies. And we don't know about Ja Morant. And they're definitely capable of beating the Sacramento Kings because they're just too young. They don't have enough size, things like that. So it's looking good for the Los Angeles Lakers. It definitely is. LeBron James doesn't need to rush it. You know, Anthony Davis definitely has it taken care of. Rui Hachimura has been playing great. Dennis Schroeder has been playing. You know, he definitely had an injury. I think that was last week or so. But with him coming back and with guys playing at a high level, Malik Beasley, you know, guys like that. And give credit to Rob Pelinka for this, for constructing this roster after the trade deadline, moving Russell Westbrook, and, you know, just trying to sew up this roster for the playoffs. So it's looking good for the Los Angeles Lakers right now. It definitely is. And I do see them making the playoffs. And moving to the Memphis Grizzlies, it's been a terrible, terrible second half of the season for them. With the speculation about Ja Morant, with Brandon Clark tearing his Achilles, Dylan Brooks, he's definitely not been playing well. And everyone thought that the Memphis Grizzlies were going to take that next step, you know, this season. They were 31-13, won 11 games straight, and then they went on a West Coast trip and dropped 5 in a row. And then it was just downhill from there. Steven Adams got hurt. They were 7-11 after Steven Adams got hurt. It's just been downhill from there. And it's tough to see because, like I said, everyone thought that Memphis was going to take that next step. People were saying that Ja Morant was an MVP caliber player, and I still think he is, but he hasn't really shown that this season. The second half of the season, I should say. And, you know, Memphis, they definitely can be beat by one of these teams like the 7th seed or the 8th seed. Because the later seeds, they're definitely the best teams, in my opinion, in the Western Conference. Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Golden State Warriors. Those later seeds can definitely take down a top seed like the Memphis Grizzlies if they're the third seed, if they're the second seed, you know? So, with all the speculation about the surrounding Ja Morant, you know, we don't know where the Memphis Grizzlies stand. We definitely don't. So, moving forward, it's imperative that they have to stay within their locker room, I would say. They have to believe in themselves. They have to believe in their locker room. They have to believe that they can go out and compete at a high level without the guys like Steven Adams and like Brandon Clark and like Ja Morant. But speaking of Ja Morant, that entire situation where, you know, he got caught with a gun on Instagram Live, there needs to be some people around Ja Morant that have his best interest at their heart. And what I mean by that is, people, when you're the breadwinner and when you're the main source of income for everyone around you becomes sort of like yes people. They don't see anything wrong that you're doing. They definitely don't want to tell you anything wrong. They definitely don't want to make you angry. So with that in mind, Ja Morant has to surround himself with the right people. You can't be around people that are just going to not hold you accountable, not say you're doing anything wrong, and just let you do what you want to do. You have to have people around you that say, hey, don't do that, bro. You're too big for that. Can't do that. Don't do this. Don't drink that. You know, you have to surround yourself with those kind of people, because those kind of people actually care about you, the human being. They don't care about what you can provide for them. They don't care about what you're doing for them. They care about you, yourself, and your being. That's all they care about. And when Josh surrounds himself with people like that, things are definitely going to change within himself, within his morale, within his, you know, mental state, because he deactivated all his social media accounts. So things are going to change if he does that. And the Memphis Grizzlies, they've talked about that. Their head coach said they're going to hold him accountable. You know, they're going to be with him in a situation. They're definitely going to, you know, support him, but they have to hold him accountable, you know, because he's an adult. He's in the NBA. He's a grown man. He definitely makes decisions on his own. But, you know, moving forward for the Memphis Grizzlies, that situation, it's gonna be a cloud over this team, you know, for weeks to come. So we don't know what's in store for them. I do see that they might have a first round exit because of all these things going on with their season this far. I mean, excuse me, these past few weeks. But nonetheless, it's kind of crazy for the Memphis Grizzlies right now. It's definitely unfortunate. But, you know, as far as the entire landscape of the NBA, I do see the Milwaukee Bucks have been playing tremendous basketball. They've won 20 out of their last 22 games. They've been playing tremendous. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been playing great. As far as the MVP talk, it's you know, it's interesting to see because, you know, Kendrick Perkins, I wanted to bring this up. Kendrick Perkins was talking to JJ Redick the other day on First Take, and Kendrick Perkins was basically saying that Nikola Jokic winning an MVP would be kind of a race thing, and I don't see it that way at all, because he may not be the best player in the league, but he's on the best team in the league. When you have a guy like that who's averaging a triple-double, who doesn't really care about stats, you know, Kendrick Perkins accused him of stat padding and things like that. It's not true. Simply put, that's a very, very terrible statement to make, because he doesn't care about stats at all. Nikola Jokic has expressed that multiple times. He doesn't care about MVPs. He just wants to win a championship with his team. That's all he cares about is his guys. So, with that being said, this MVP race, it's not a racial thing. In years past, the best players in the league have not won MVP awards. For example, when Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs, one year that MVP could have gone to Shaquille O'Neal. He was the best player in the league by far that year. Or he could have went to Tim Duncan the next year, you know, with the San Antonio Spurs having a 67-15 record. So, you know, years like that where the best player in the league doesn't win the MVP award, and it just just happens to go to a white player, it has nothing to do with race. They just played on the best team in that year. You know, those two years Steve Nash went back-to-back MVPs, they have the best offensive efficiency in the league. They have the best offensive unit in the league. So those 2 years are definitely kind of looked at by Kendrick Perkins and you know, guys like him to argue that point. And that, you can't argue that. You definitely can't, because Joel Embiid can make a case for MVP. Giannis Antetokounmpo can make a case for MVP. Earlier this season, it could have been Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, you know, guys like that. And it has nothing to do with race. You know, in my opinion, Joel Embiid should have won MVP last year. I think he should win it again. And I think Joel Embiid should win it this year. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is right up there. You know, it's a three-man race, basically. But I just definitely disagree with that statement that, you know, Kendrick Perkins made it a race thing. It's not race, bro. It's not. It has nothing to do with race. Who is the best player on the best team? Simple as that. You know, it doesn't matter who's the best in the league. Everyone knows Kevin Durant is the best player in the league. It doesn't matter who's the best at your position, because people realize that Joel Embiid is a better basketball player. He's a better talented, skilled big man than Nikola Jokic. As far as just ability, as far as just pure skill, pure ability, pure shot creating and shot making ability, Joel Embiid is better than Nikola Jokic. We all understand that. So Kendrick Perkins has to get that narrative out of his head. He has to stop spewing that narrative out onto people, because it's not true at all. But going back to the top teams in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets are right there. The Milwaukee Bucks are right there. They're definitely going to, you know, be one of those type of teams that people don't want to play. Simply put, they just don't want to play in the Milwaukee Bucks because they're hot right now. They won two in a row. And before that, I think they won 16 games in a row before they lost to, I forget who they lost to, but they lost to some team. And I don't know if it was the New York Knicks, but they lost a 16-game winning streak. So, you know, with teams like that, with teams like Boston and Philly, you know, it's definitely a three-team race in the Eastern Conference. I do think either three of those teams are going to come out of the Eastern Conference. But I have a strong belief that it's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. But the Western Conference, like I said, Denver is the clear favorite in the Western Conference, 46-19. Like I said earlier, Sacramento and Memphis are tied for second place. Phoenix in fourth, Dallas in fifth, Golden State in sixth, Minnesota seventh, Clippers in eighth, Los Angeles Lakers in nine, the Pelicans at 10. So, you know, with the landscape of the NBA, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how, well, come playoff time, you know, the matchups, you know, if the playoffs started right now, Milwaukee will be playing the Atlanta Hawks. Boston will be playing the Miami Heat. 76ers will be playing the Brooklyn Nets. The Cleveland Cavaliers will be playing the New York Knicks. So with that being said, it's tough because, you know, and I've heard Stephen A. Smith say this, if Cleveland Cavaliers play the New York Knicks in the first round and Donovan Mitchell sends them home, it's going to be crazy because the New York Knicks should have had Donovan Mitchell. They didn't want to deplete their roster. They didn't want to, you know, just throw everything to get Donovan Mitchell. And they should have, honestly, because the city of New York needs star power. The Madison Square Garden, they need star power. So the New York Knicks haven't had excitement in a while. So they definitely needed a guy like him. But they didn't get him. And, you know, for the West, the Denver Nuggets, first seed, they will be playing the Los Angeles Clippers. Sacramento Kings will be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Memphis Grizzlies will be playing the Golden State Warriors. That will be interesting. Phoenix will be playing Dallas. Phoenix and Dallas is interesting too because Phoenix Suns, you know, they've had their back and forth with the Dallas Mavericks, you know, with Kyrie being there now and Luka Doncic. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how much each team gives, you know, how the offensive skill, the offensive display in a series like that, in a seven-game series, oh my goodness, it would be crazy. Luka Doncic putting on the show, Kyrie putting on the show, Kevin Durant getting you 35 to 40, D-Book giving you 35 to 40, Chris Paul, you know, getting 10 assists. And once that, if that happens, it's going to be crazy. And I do think the Phoenix Suns will pull it out, but it's going to be very, very crazy if that happens, if that 4-5 matchup happens. But, you know, moving forward, I definitely see the Boston Celtics. You know, they're not playing good right now. I'm going to bring up the Boston Celtics. They're not playing great. They've lost three in a row. They are not peaking at the right time right now. You know, last season, they had a great second half of the season, and they peaked at the right time. But they're not peaking right now. So moving forward, Boston is going to be very, very – we're going to have to watch. We're going to have to watch Boston because Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, sometimes they have a tendency to not fight for offensive touches, but they have a tendency to kind of just shun one another out because they're so focused on making shots and creating for the teammates. So it has to be some kind of middle ground there. It has to be. Because Jason Tatum, he's an MVP caliber player. Jaylen Brown, I think he's, a lot of people don't give him credit. I think, you know, on a team that doesn't have Jason Tatum or a guy like that, of that caliber, Jaylen Brown is clearly the best player on that team, point blank. So, you know, moving forward with Boston, they definitely have to figure some things out. They definitely have to lock in and build that camaraderie late. And, you know, it's the difference between regular season camaraderie and playoff time camaraderie, because playoff time is an entirely different basketball game. It literally is. Spaces get tighter. Everyone is more nervous. Everyone has, you know, things to prove. So definitely going to be watching Boston. But with that being said, guys, it's the end of the show. I enjoy speaking with you guys. I enjoy all my listeners out there who enjoy listening to me. And I want you guys to follow my podcast pages on Instagram. You can just look up Head Honcho Sports Podcast, and on Twitter as well, look up Head Honcho Sports Podcast. You will see that page. You guys give me a follow. You know, you guys comment on you know, videos and share videos, you know, anything like that. I'll put those in the description below. And this is the end of the show, guys. Episode 2, season 2. I still have some special guests for you guys. I did not forget. A lot of people are going to come speak on the show. But with that being said, this is the end. I will see you guys next week. Peace out.